Welcome to Tarani Nacha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rena Forman, and today we will be studying Yechezkel, Perek Chaf Gimel, Chapter 23. As the Chorban and Galut get closer, the Nevuot get only harsher. Perek Chaf Gimel will remind us of Perek Tet Zayin in many ways, but the language is stronger, as per the times. The topic, once again, is the promiscuity of Israel, but this time, it is described in harsher and even more explicit and angry terms. Our parak speaks of two sisters, two daughters of one mother. Their promiscuous behavior began when they were young. Mitzrayim was their first innocent love. Well, not so innocent. Who are these two sisters? As the psukim in our parak continue, we learn of their names. Ushmotan, Ahala, Hagdala, Ahaliva, Ahotan. The older sister's name is Ahala, and the younger sister's name is Ahaliva. And then the psukim go on to tell us a bit more about them. Vatiyena li vateladna banim uvanot. God says, these sisters, I married them, and they birthed children for me. We are still not sure who these sisters are until, finally, at the end of the pasuk, we find out. Ushmotan shomron Ahala v'Yerushalayim Ahaliva. These sisters that we are talking about, the verse reveals, are none other than Shomron and Yerushalayim. The two kingdoms of Israel, Shomron, the northern kingdom, has already been driven into exile by the nation of Ashur, and Yerushalayim is now on the precipice of exile to Babel. What is the significance, you might ask, of those names they're associated with, Ahala and Ahaliva? Well, let's look at the etymology of these similar-sounding names. The first thing that stands out is that each of them have a form of the word ohel within them. An ohel is a tent, basically a roof over one's head, a place one can take shelter. In the case of Ahala, the name seems to mean her tent. According to Rashi, Shomron's name, Ahala, means ohel shala, her tent. It's kind of like Shomron has her own tent, which leaves no room for God to find shelter within her, because she has taken to idol worship, dating all the way back to the golden calves of Yeravam, and later to Achav's Bamot. On the other hand, Ahaliva's name means my tent is within her. God's Shekhinah rests within the tent of Ahaliva, in the form of the Mikdash. That is, God's own tent is within the southern kingdom. Think Ohel Moed, the tent of meeting. That is what the Mishkan, the temporary house of God in the Midbar, was called in the Torah. Ohel Moed was the tent in which God's Shekhinah took shelter. The significance of these names will become clearer as we continue in the parak, but for now, the next thing the psukim will concentrate on is the promiscuity of each of these sisters, beginning with Ahala, Shomron. As we will see, beyond the illicit intimacy connected with Avodah Zarah, the promiscuity of these sisters also takes the form of political alliances with outside nations. The section about Ahala begins with three words that sum it all up. God says, "Vatizen Ahala tachtai." Ahala prostituted herself under me, tachtai, while she was still married to me. That word tachtai evokes the word tacha used in describing the sin of the Isha Sota in Sefer Bamidbar. The words there are ve'im lo satit tuma tachat ishech, and if you didn't stray and become impure while under your husband. An Isha Sota, a woman who is suspected of adultery, is made to drink bitter waters to prove that she didn't stray while under her husband. In other words, while married to him. Here, Ahala's actions are reminiscent of this Isha Sota. She strays from God, her husband, while still under his ohel, his tent. The second half of Pasuk He goes on to describe her promiscuity using an unusual verb, v'tegav al ma'ahaveha. According to Mitzudas David, this term, v'tegav, connotes lust. She demonstrated an insatiable appetite for her lovers. The pasuk continues by telling us who exactly it is that Ahala lusts for. El Ashur Krovim. It's the nation of Ashur. Levushei Techelet, Pachot Uskanim, Bachorei Chamed Kulam, Parashim, Rochvei Susim. They're attractive officers, clad in Techelet, royal blue, and chariot drivers piqued her interest. Vatiten Taznu Teha Alehem, Mivchar Bnei Ashur Kulam. And she poured her promiscuity upon the best of Ashur. But even toward Ashur, this new lover, she wasn't loyal. ותזנותה ממצרים לא עזבה, כי אותה שכבו בנעוריה. Even while gravitating to Ashur, she never really left Mitzrayim, her first love from her youth. And in Pasuk Tet, we learn the consequences of Baalah's behavior. V'chein netatia b'yad ma'ahaveha, b'yad b'nei Ashur, asher agva aleihem. God says, I will put her right into the hands of her lovers, into the hands of Ashur, who she lusted for. Hema gilu ervata. They will shame her by uncovering her nakedness. In that sense, her punishment will fit her crime. Ashur, the very nation who she exposed herself to in Znut, will now shame her by exposing her nakedness. Asher will imprison her sons and daughter and kill her by sword. The reference here seems to be the first galut of the 10 tribes of Israel, also referred to as Shomron. They were exiled by Sancheriv, the king of Ashur. And the Pesukim continue, the degradation of Ohala will be so great that Vatihi shame lenashim. Ohala will serve as a spectacle to other zonot, serving as a deterrent to other women not to act as she did. In Rashi's words, other women will say, Re'u ma'alta l'ploni alzimata. Look what befell so-and-so because of her promiscuous ways. But as the Pesukim continue, we learn of at least one woman that did not learn a lesson from Ohala's punishment from her exile. And that is her sister Ohaliva. V'teirei achuta Ohaliva, v'tashchit agvata mibena, v'etaznuteha miznunei achuta. Ohaliva saw her sister's actions, but instead of learning caution from her sister's terrible ordeal, she followed in her ways. In fact, she acted with even more lust and faithlessness than her sister did, for she too gravitated to the princes of Ashur. With sadness, in Pasuk Yud Bet, God says, "Fa'erei kinitma'a, derech echad lishtehen." I saw the impurity of the second sister, Ohaliva, and I realized that the two sisters are the same. In other words, the second sister is no better than the first. And in the next Pasuk, we hear that her znut, that of the second sister, Ohaliva, not only included promiscuous behavior with Asher like her sister, but she added even more znut upon that, v'tosef al taznutaha, v'teirei anshei mechukeh al akir, tzalmei kasdim. She took interest in the graven images of the idols of Bavel, which she saw upon the wall. Ohaliva, inspired by these graven images, sent messengers to facilitate an affair with Bavel. Parenthetically, these graven images seem reminiscent of the graven images that Yechezkel saw back in Perek Chet. Remember the perek that described the Tolivot, the Avodah Zarah sins? It spoke of a hole in the wall that Yechezkel enlarged. He then peered through that hole and saw graven images of Avodah Zarah etched on the wall, depicting the Avodah Zarah that was worshipped right in the Mikdash itself. Behold, Gilulei Beit Yisrael Mechuke al Hakir. And he saw the disgusting things of Beit Yisrael engraved on the wall. Our perek seems to chronicle something similar. It accuses Ohaliva of straying, her lust inspired by graven images. And as Ohaliva was defiled by all this, v'teikha nafsha mehem, her heart fell disconnected from them. In other words, she got no real emotional satisfaction from these trysts with idols. As Mitzvah's David explains, her heart wasn't really in it. The idols failed to meet her needs to be considerate to her, as one might hope for in a true loving relationship. And yet, she continued her affair with these idols of Bavel. And as she exposed herself with her znut, she exposed her nakedness. V'tigal taznuteha, v'tigal et ervata. The pasuk goes on to repeat the word v'tigha, which it just used before. V'tigha nafshi me'aleha, kashir nafshi me'alachuta. And I felt disconnected from her, the way I felt disconnected from her sister. That word vateka was used before to mean she felt disconnected from the idols. Now God uses the word to say that he felt disconnected from her. How does Ohaliva respond? Sadly, she doesn't repent. Instead, she turns her attention to an old bow. The Pesukim begin by speaking of her connection to Mitzrayim from the days of her youth. Presumably, the reference is to idolatry of Egyptians that Israel learned about centuries earlier when they were enslaved there. Well, she gravitated right back to the midstream of the Egyptians, those with whom she first lost her innocence. Vatagva al pilag shehem, lusting for them as if ready to serve as their concubines. All this, of course, is pretty awful, and God isn't going to let things go on like this. And sure enough, in later psukim, we hear about the consequences of all this. Ahaliva, the southern kingdom, will suffer as a result of her promiscuity. As we heard about with Ahalah, her sister, God says, Hineni me'ir et ma'avayach alayach, I will awaken your lovers against you. All of the many cities of the nation of Babel with whom you consorted will gather against you, together with Ashur. They will bring their ammunition, their chariots. Natati lifnehem mishpat, ushvatuch b'mishpatehem. God says, I will let those nations take over. I will put your judgment in their hands. V'hivshituch et b'gadayach. To shame you, they will strip you of your clothing. V'lakhu kli tifrateach. And they will take your vessels of glory. Perhaps a reference to the kelim of the Mikdash, which were taken. V'yishpati zimatech mimech, v'etznutech me'eretz Mitzrayim. And I will end your adultery and your zinut with Mitzrayim. V'lo tisi einayach aleihem, u'mitzrayim lo tizkeri od. And you'll no longer raise your eyes to them, and you will no longer remember them. This suffering will finally put an end to your zinut with Mitzrayim, and you will forget about her. Let's think about that last phrase, u'mitzrayim lo tizkeri od. Why will you forget? Presumably because you will be busy trying to survive in exile. You won't have the opportunity to even remember your first love, Mitzrayim. It's like Maslow's hierarchy of needs. When one's life is on the line and the sword is looming, promiscuity is the last thing on your mind. It's all about survival. The psukim continue to describe the way Ahaliva will be treated in exile by the nations, her exes, the lovers from whom she felt disconnected even while she consorted with them. Vazavuch, Eirum, Ve'aria. Reminiscent of what we heard earlier with her sister, Ahaliva will be left stripped and naked by these former lovers. V'tegal tazduteha, v'tegalad ervata. And you will be left exposed in your zdut and in your nakedness. Further psukim go on to say, b'derech achotech halacht, v'natati kusa biyadech. Because you went in your sister's ways, I will put her cup in your hand. Kos achotech tishti ha'amuka v'harachava. This cup that Ahaliva will be made to drink from, it's deep and wide. Let's pause for a moment and think about another woman mentioned in the Torah who was made to drink. Remember how back in the beginning of the parak we saw language reminiscent of the Isha Sota? That word tachat, indicating sin while still under the marriage contract with her husband? We seem to be getting another hint of the Isha Sota now. In our case, the relevant words of the Isha Sota referencing her cup in Sefer B'Midbar are V'hishka et ha'mayim v'hayta imit ma'a batim'o ma'al b'isha. And she is made to drink from the water. And if she was impure and rebelled against her husband, if she is guilty of adultery, the water will attest to her guilt. The guilty version of the Isha Sota seems to parallel the woman described in our parak, who is in fact guilty of treachery. What's more, in regards to the Isha Sota, the pasuk back in Bamidbar tells us, Haita ha'isha la'ala bekerav ama. She will be considered a curse within her nation. Similarly, here in Yechezkel, Ahaliva will also be looked upon unfavorably among others. Later psukim say about Ahaliva, this nation that once played host to the Mikdash, Tiye litzchok ulalag, she will be ridiculed by the nations. The psukim go on to tell us what the further effects of drinking from this cup will be for Ahaliva. Shikaron v'yagon timalei, kos shama ushmama, kos achotech shamron. You will be filled with drunkenness and despair due to drinking from your sister's cup of destruction. In Ahaliva's case, the psukim tell us, the cup will cause Ahaliva to fall into a drunken state. In drunken desperation, she will drain the cup, and as she sucks the last bit of wine from the cup, she will end up breaking the cup into shards. Ne'um Hashem, so says God. End of topic? Well, actually not. We are still going to hear more about these sisters. Starting in Pasuk Lamed Vav, it's almost as though we've come full circle, back to the beginning. But this time, if we look closely, we will see that the sins the sisters are accused of are described differently, or really, more expansively. The sins in this section include adultery, as well as murder, idol worship, and the sin of Molech. But even worse, they didn't just do these sins. They did them in the worst possible place. Vayavol el mikdashi bayomahu l'chalalo, v'hinei cho'asu b'toch beiti. God says, they did all this right in the confines of my Mikdash, disgracing it right in my home. Ot zot asuli, timu el Mikdashi bayomahu, ve'ed shabtotai chilelu. They defiled my Mikdash and desecrated the Shabbos while in the Mikdash. They even brought their children to the Molech right in the Mikdash. This harsh nevuah is meant to shake the people, prepare them for what is right around the corner. The destruction and exile are imminent. Pause. Sadly, there is another context in which we hear about these very same sisters, Ahla and Ahliva. We hear about them on Tisha B'Av night. They appear in a kinah composed centuries later by a poet, picking up on those themes from Yechezkel. In Yechezkel, the comparison was made between these sisters in terms of the gravity of their sins. It describes a destruction that is prophesied for each of them. Well, centuries later, that destruction actually took place, and it is lamented in this kinah. In the poem, the two sisters dialogue with each other, lamenting their respective fates. Each one speaks of the horrors they've experienced, and they compete with each other on what it is that they experienced. Shomron kol titein, mitzauni avonai, la'eres acheret yitzauni vanai. My sins have found me, my children have been exiled to another land. But Ahliva responds, v'ahliva tizak, yisrifura monai. My palaces have been burned, v'tomer tzion azavani Hashem. Ahla lost her children, but Ahliva also lost God's own presence. To which Shomron responds, lo lach Ahliva, chashov onyech keoni, hatamshili shivrech, each can't believe their sister's fate is worse than their own. What began in Yechezkel as a comparison made by the Navi between these two sisters ends in the kinah as a race, so to say, between the two sisters to compare their own painful fates. The kinah memorializes the sorry truth that Yechezkel's prophecy has been fulfilled. Thank you for studying together the Ilui Nishmat Riva Schwab, Rivka Bat Alexander Sunder.